Blog Talk Radio.
Popular song that was written by John Rostel. It was first recorded by Olivia and released in September 1973 as the second single from her studio album of the same name. The country-influenced song was Newton-John's first top 10 single in the U.S., peaking at number 6. And she also won a Grammy and a Best Female Country Vocalist for the song. Mike Sams sings the bass vocals, harmony on the song. And Dame Olivia Newton-John was a British Australian singer, songwriter, actress, entrepreneur, and activist. She was a 4-time Grammy Award winner whose musical career included 5 number one hits and another top 10 hit on the Billboard Hot 100 and 2 Billboard 200 number one albums. If You Love Me, Let Me Know. And Have You Ever Been Mellow? And 11 of her singles, including 2 platinum, and 14 of her albums sold more than 100 million records. She is one of the best-selling musical artists from the second half of the 20th century to the present. In 78, she starred in the musical film Grease, whose soundtrack is one of the world's best-selling albums of recorded music. It features two major hits with co-star John Travolta, You're the One That I Want, which ranks as one of the best-selling singles of all time, and Summer Nights, her signature solo, included the Record of the Year Grammy winner I Honestly Love You in 74, Physical in 81, and the Billboard's Have You Never Been Mellow in 75, Sam in 77, Hopelessly Devoted to You from Greece, A Little More Love, and from the 1980 film Xanadu, Magic and Xanadu with Electric Light Orchestra. Plus, Heart Attack and Twist of Fate from the 83 film Two of a Kind. Newton-John was an activist for the environment and animal rights causes. And in 2008, she raised the funds to help build the Olivia Newton-John Cancer and Wellness Center in Melbourne, Australia. She led a three-week, 228-kilometer walk along the Great Wall of China during April, joined by various celebrities and cancer survivors throughout her trek. The walk symbolized the steps cancer patients must take on the road to recovery. And again, that is Dame Olivia Newton-John, who we lost today. This is Deborah Lee, and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio. I'm here with my big brother, Jay Hatter, and we are part of the group A Team of Voices, and we hang out at allpoetry.com. It's a giant poetry site. If you're a member, or if you join, which is free, you can look us up on the group tab and just click it. I'll meet you at the door. You can hang out, and we put the links in the room so you can follow along. And if you're in earshot and you'd like to participate, the number is 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And I guess we will get started. And I will first say hey to my big brother, Hatter. Hey, Hatter.
You forgot one thing about Olivia Newton-John and you didn't say.
What is that?
Besides that song sounding very Helen Reddish, Helen Reddish.
Yeah.
She was a fox. She was a stone cold fox.
She was what?
A fox.
Oh, yeah, this is true. And you know, I happened to notice on the chat wall that she might have been a crush for some of our friends around here. Back in the day, she was a beautiful woman all the way through her life. And it's very, very sad that we have lost her. And I guess speaking of the crush is a good segue. But he put away little boy crushes and married his lady love. Let's say hello to the dynamic duo, Kay and Steven, the owner and her hubby of A Poetic Slice of Life. Hey, guys, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Glad you're here.
Meander Kays.
I had posters of her all over my room.
Yeah.
Really?
There was one that was just, the one with the button in the bathing suit.
In the red bathing suit, yeah, but my favorite was the white sweater.
Wait a minute, your favorite one was what?
She was in a white sweater, and it was kind of off her shoulder, and it was just,
I can picture that, yeah, that was that 80s style when Flashdance was going on, and people were wearing, what were those, scrunchy socks.
Pat Benatar.
High hairdos and all that fun stuff, and people were getting physical.
Yeah.
Miss Kay, are you a Grease fan?
I think it's okay. I've seen that film many of times. I actually like the character Rizzo.
Rizzo, yeah.
Yeah, because she's kind of more like me, a tomboy rough around the edges. Mm. Yeah.
Like Rizzo.
Yeah.
And she was misunderstood. It's an amazing movie that has stood the test of time because, like, My daughter, it is absolutely her all-time favorite movie, and I think she's seen it 9,011 times or something. And it's way out of her generation, you know, so, it's just funny to see what things resonate with each generation, and that's definitely one of those
things.
Doesn't
it mimic West Side Story? Doesn't it sort of mimic West Side Story?
I guess there's some similarities. Like in West Side Story, it was like, what, street gangs? And in Greece, it's high school cliques. So, they have their similarities.
Yeah, there's a musical. Yeah, it's a musical. And
We actually saw it in the theater this year.
Go ahead, sorry.
Because they were shooting old movies during COVID.
What?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
At home, or did you say the theater?
It was at the theater. We went and saw it on the big screen for the first time because they were showing old movies at the theaters during COVID.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. I knew you said COVID. I was like, I don't know if it broke up or it was my phone, but I wasn't sure what else you had said. There's some things that you have to see on the big screen at least once. I bet you had a really good time watching that one.
Oh yeah.
Everybody, you're the one that I want. Do, do, do.
You are what I want.
I believe that's one of the ones in the studio, or I would expect it for you guys. I'll have to get it loaded before the show's coming up. So I don't know if we're going to do two more or we're going to somehow combine them, so we'll have to figure that out. But at the moment, Hatter's planning Hatter's Jukebox for Wednesday on Livia Newton-John. And I noticed that Sweet is not doing All Things Cal tomorrow. She said she's going to celebrate Sandra Day. So maybe we'll see how that goes, or maybe we'll have a couple shows. But,
cool.
Yeah. See how that goes.
We can probably combine
them
to an hour apiece.
Well, Sweet does her two-hour show. We'll figure that out later. I don't know. But I'm looking at the one on the board. Is that from Xanadu?
Yes.
Yeah. Way cool. Okay. Now, Stephen and Kay have been on their deck at the mortuary. So I'm going to get this going so that they can chill. And hopefully no more issues with the power blinking and everything. Okay, so the poem by the lovely Kay is on the board. So Kay, will you start us off, please?
Yeah. I call mine Diversification Free of Plight. Faith born bad, cattle the senses of nightingales, dark waters afloat into fallen in the shallows, chemical voice, a steel to the dark road, streaks of bloodshot mystique, geraniums, open seas, Manitou euphoric, ninepence tattering, troop's edge of suffocation, dark waves, to walk in the swim, beach glass cut in flesh, watercolors as vault to heaven and firmaments, chimes read, ash and gray, cruxed and black twinkling, to suss the window lanterns, trawling in beds of paraffins, rose-hipped, and poem.
Well, on a side note, I have to say I love the additional art down there. That's really awesome. And between the above it, chemical voice. I can't even imagine Shallow's chemical voice, a steel to the dark road. But there's just something so brutally harsh about a chemical voice. So that sort of sets the tone there. Open sea, Manitou euphoric, a suffocation, dark waves. It just goes perfect with the mood of both of the pieces of art that you put here. To walk in the swim, beach, glass cutting flesh. And that makes me think of, I'm watching a series right now, I can't think of what it's even called. And one of the things today they were showing was whales and some of the stuff underneath. It's called Patagonia, Life on the Edge of the World. And I'm in the middle of that right now, and it made me think of all the damage that we're doing and hurting the animals, and they were talking about a whale that was washed up on the beach, and the vet spent 9 hours autopsying it to find out that it had a damaged heart from blunt force trauma from being hit by a ship. So, you know, something about that beach glass cutting flesh put me in that tone of thought. And then the crux in black twinkling. Black twinkling is one of those things where you just can't imagine, because black is supposed to be nothing. So for it to twinkle, it is really pretty cool. But I wind up saying at the end of every poem that you write, Kay, that I am always in awe of some of the metaphors that you use, the images, the way I feel when I get done listening to something that you've written. So I imagine that, you know, what more of a compliment can you give somebody than to tell them that their work makes you feel. So another excellent one, and a 10 to boot. So hell of a share. Let me get you some comments. Hatter?
Yeah, what metaphoric language are you tapping into? Open seas, vanity, euphoric, ninepence tattering troops the edge as suffocate. What's a ninepence?
Well, I'm going to be honest and tell you that August is not a very easy month for me. My mother was a very abusive woman, so a lot of my rights are going to be dark because it's channeling past abuse. So I'm just going to kind of leave that there like that. Yeah, because the anniversary, actually today is the anniversary of her birthday. She passed away 25 years ago. The stuff still lingers.
That's sad. But I like that you have the poetic outlet, because imagine if it was bottled up and you had nowhere to put it, versus coming up with some of this amazing poetry that you, that it inspires, not inspires, but it just, it bleeds from you sometimes. And this is definitely one of those times where, like I said, by the time you were done, I could feel, and that's a big deal. Stephen.
Well, yeah, you know, I got quite a bit of this metaphor too, and I told you in my comment that it is a beautiful image, is a metaphor, because only you can bring it the way you do, so amazingly and so deep. And I told you in my comment that, you know, sometimes you have to go through hell to get to a good place, which kind of makes me think of the Steve Miller Band a little bit, I guess. But, yeah, the song, Big Old Jet Airliner, you got to go through hell before you get to heaven. But, yeah, it's got the dark fringe, but it's also beautiful. So our counselor said that, that our pain is beautiful. So.
Yeah. He's trying to comfort me, I think.
So there you go.
There you go.
Awesome comment. And it seems like we are, it's just us guys. So, Stephen, how about if you tell us, thank you, Kay. How about if you tell us what is going on at a Poetic Slice this week?
Well, let's see. Our next show is Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, and it's going to be Open Agnes Cecil, as it is our last show of our year of Agnes Cecil, the watercolor artist. who makes such brilliant paintings with the watercolors. Mm-hmm. So bring your favorite Agnes Cecil Wright from the past year, and we'll feature it on Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, right?
Yeah, 9 p.m. I
still got to fix that. Still got to fix that, yes. There is no movement of sound, so we reconvene on Friday, and that's from last month's writing challenge.
Yeah, we'll always have summer in the heart. So anybody who gave permission on Friday night, we're going to get those read. So far I have 20 for Friday, so that's going to be our Friday.
Yeah, there you go. And then Saturday is Storyboards with Sky at 8 p.m. Eastern, and she's featuring The Money Pit. Character rights, quote rights, movie rights. I know, that's a great one. I love that one, too. Mm. So that'll be fun, 8 p.m., Geek Out with Sky and Tom Hanks.
Awesome stuff. Sounds cool. And I think I already said this, but it was so hard to pick just one from Miss Agnes, but I managed. So I will see you there. And in the meantime, I have added your poem to the board. So if you would dazzle us, that would be awesome.
Alrighty. I like this one because of the way the water looks like a mirror on the sand, and that's kind of what inspired this piece, actually, and probably also the fact that it was Shark Week when I wrote it. And I call this $100 a bowl. Fluorescent flame does hide the pain as sunset is admired. Froth hides the gore of hundred shorn. Waves veil the sandbar pyre. Broth does steam at eventide gleam, insipid for by the spice. Toothy fish that drown without a sound sip from the spoon without thinking twice. We stand on the beach, deeming the evening the peach, while viewing the sinking sun. Tide makes mirrors of sand. We have blood on our hands. See reflections ask, what have we done? End poem.
What have we done?
Well, for starters, I love the photo that you chose. And I love the first line, fluorescent flame does hide the pain. And there is sort of a flamish set of tones in there, like from a gas stove. So it's quite an interesting approach for the beginning there. As sunset is admired, froth hides the gore of hundreds shorn waves. Veil the sandbar pyre. And something there, the froth hides the gore. And it made me think of, what is that, Lake Huron that was slowly emptying. It dried up. And the more it dried up, the more they would find everything from boats that had sunk to bodies. So something about the hides the gore. It makes me think of that in that line. We stand on the beach, deeming evening the peach, while viewing the sinking sun. Tide makes mirrors of sand. We have blood on our hands. See, reflections ask, what have we done? And I feel like that there was a bit of soapbox beauty here. Because you leave us pondering in thought, what have we done? And then you bring in one of your pet peeves, which is these sharks and this crap with the shark fins. And I keep going back to that show, but I also saw a man who was part of this. Now he's donating his time and efforts to trying to help save them and stop this from happening and tagging them and measuring them. And it's just what we do to the world and to the things in it. It is heartbreaking. And the fact that you used the ocean topic to shine a light on it again was quite brilliant. And I learned something today that makes your final photo there even more powerful, because the only way, from what this guy was saying, the only way to kill, like instantly kill a shark is to cut his tail off, which I didn't know. But here, nobody or no thing dies as slowly as a shark does. So it's even worse when they cut that fin off because it takes them a really long time to die. So they're down there and they're bobbing around and critters eat them alive and it just goes on and on and on. So talk about torment. So like I said, I love that you used it to shine a light on that topic, Stephen. So great poem.
Thanks, Deb.
Great touch. Thank you. Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, I to start off with, I think sharks are magnificent beasts. They'd be equal to like the leopard or cougar or something on land, but people don't understand that shark finning is the probably the cruelest thing I've ever seen, besides some of the dolphin things. But man, the way you write is getting more different styles involved in it. I love it. I love the ending of this. We stand on the beach, deeming, evening the peach. Sort of an inner rhyme, but then you don't continue it, which is fine. It works. While viewing the sinking sun, tide makes mirrors and sand. We have blood on our hands. Well, you do. You did do the inner rhyme. I'm sorry. What have we done? And that's the statement that is the most hypocritical. It's like the monarch butterfly. They've known for years what was going on. They were dwindling and did nothing. Now they go, oh, the poor butterfly. Damn, you know, people that had something to do with it could do something. They didn't. And they're not going to do it for any other species either because they're padding their pockets. It's more important for them to be rich. And they lean on the fact that constantly there are species going extinct, everything from insects to reptiles to animals throughout history. We just have a small window that we live in on the evolution of animals, if you want to call it that, that we don't notice that. But I'm saying this really badly, in zoology or in animal behavior studies, it's not uncommon for species to go extinct. It is to force, like the rhino, that's terrible for the horns. We totally did that. But people that are in power that can do something about it, they lean on that. Well, the species is going, you know, it was endangered anyway, but they can't sustain their habitats, you know, changing, they can't migrate. It's a bunch of hypocritical statements. And I'll just shut up now. Sorry.
No. I definitely agree with you. One thing that mankind is good at is procrastinating, helping something that needs help. And the worst ones are the ones that go extinct because of what we did. You know,
yeah.
It's definitely, you know, it definitely hits home. Thanks.
Yeah, it's the food chain. It's the food chain that is disrupted. And you can really alter the ecosystem. It's like the Great Barrier Reef, the starfish and the urchins, and that whole thing is changing. You can't do that. You can't mess with the top predators. A perfect example is the wolf in the Yellowstone. They got rid of all the wolves in Yellowstone Park, and within several years, the flood, the trees started having diseases. The bogs were creating inaccessible land because the beavers were clogging up the streams and rivers to back up. It was ruining the forests. They brought the wolves back, and in 10 years, they controlled the beavers, which now Yellowstone is back in its original state. So the top alpha animal you've got rid of changed the whole ecosystem of a national park.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, let's say hi to Wayne. Yeah. Welcome to the show, Wayne.
Hello, guys and gals. Sorry,
Wayne.
Glad you're here.
Hey, Wayne.
I don't think you got here in time to hear Stephen, did you?
Yeah, I didn't hear it, but I read it. So it's a very good poem. I said it's a great poem with good rhyme in it and a story that everyone needs to be aware of. First, I like sharks about meeting well. So great job with the poem and good story.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And I appreciate you both calling. And I don't know how much longer you can stay, but love and respect in case you hang up before I run my mouth again. Wayne, your poem is on the board. Will you read for us?
Yes, ma'am, I will. I'm not, I haven't read for a while, so bear with me. This is called Inside Looking Out. And I spelled looking wrong, too, for I just finished a little while ago. It goes like this. Ridgy rocky cave, I reside. Damp, denim, dark days, often hide. Cobblestone clusters cover coral cave. Whistle while waterlogged, watching wave. Serrated sandy shore, shouts the sangria sea. Bacon, beer, and banana. Bubbly, bath, brushes, battered beach. Long-haired dip with daffodil, trying to reach. Meet me where the sky touches the sea, where cold waters whisper to be free. To feel the tickle of butterscotch breeze, and live our lives together at ease. Yeah.
Unmuted.
I couldn't find the stupid button. I love when that happens. So I didn't think about that, Wayne. It has been a while since you had to read and not get to sit and listen to yourself. Do you like it better the other way?
Well, you got to be a live performance every once in a while. You got to go on stage if you're going to be famous.
This is true. Rich rocky cave, I reside. Damp denim, dark days, often hide. I love that opening. The rhyme, the colors and everything that you packed in there, and alliteration all in just two lines. Way, way cool. And in that second stanza, serrated sandy shores shout to sangria sea. But the serrated shores works really well with this because at every in every part that you see any type of land, it's like jagged rock, like serrated. So that, you know, that worked really, really well there. And to feel the tickle of a butterscotch breeze and live our lives together at ease. The butterscotch breeze, that's pretty clever, and because you think, like, when you're at the beach, most of the time, there's all these amazing, sweet smells going through the air. Quite often coconut and stuff like that, but the butterscotch breeze, it just seems to fit really perfectly. So this was a really pretty brevity. And I am thrilled that you were able to call and read live and in person.
Yeah.
And before I give you some comments, let's say hello to Liquid Damage, a.k.a. Linda. Hey, doll, welcome to the show.
What's up, Linda?
Hey, Deb, what's up?
Very glad you're here. And I'm
good to be here.
I'm trying to, like, push just in case because we've been having some weird power stuff going on. Apparently from Ohio to Jersey and in between, so who knows. But let me get some comments for Wayne, and I'm going to go right to the duo. Is Kay still here, or?
Yeah.
Will you comment,
I am.
Please?
Hey,
yeah, well, hello, Wayne. So as I said, this is smooth alliteration. It makes the words sing sweetly of nature, and with the rhyme, the waters and their gentle state to give the closing a great telling. I like how you speak about meet me where the sky touches the sea, where cobalt waters whisper to be free, and live our lives together at ease to feel the tickle butterscotch breeze here. It's a lovely rite. The closing is humble and kind. It's wonderful all around. Great use of your words.
Thank you very much.
Awesome comment. And Stephen.
Meet me halfway across the sky. Okay. Kenny Loggins. Kenny Loggins. Yeah, I like this a lot. I did like that butterscotch breezes, too, because who doesn't like butterscotch? The descriptions are great in this, Wayne, and I think, you know, I was trying to figure out what the hell to have for a snack after the show, and now I know I'm going to go have bacon, beer, and bananas.
Excellent, right, yep.
I was going to say the same thing. It's my turn.
Awesome comments, you guys. Thank you so much. And Hatter, you want to finish your comment?
Yeah, bacon, beer, and bananas. Yeah. What else do you need?
Bacon, beer, and bananas.
Yeah.
So from what I'm hearing, you better start stocking up on that beer. There's some kind of shortage in something in the beer-making process that's going to make the prices go through the roof. You heard it here first.
First baby formula. First baby formula, now beer. Yeah, that would be wine. I'm on the West Coast. So we got thousands of wineries. I think I'm safe out here.
Yeah,
but yeah, nobody hit the word
bank.
Linda,
what did you think?
Well, I didn't get to hear it, but I read over it just now. And like I say, Wayne is the king of alliteration. This is just so well done. And your rhyming is just wonderful. Great poem. You've got some really interesting lines in here. The bacon, beer, and banana to eat for me is a very interesting combination. Your lines are filled with just fun and you know, brevity and it was very cool, sweetheart. Thank you for sharing it.
Thanks for coming. That'd be great to be coming.
No, thank you.
Well, here's what you take your banana, you wrap bacon around your banana, and you dip it in your beer, and that's how you eat it, just if you want to know.
I can't say that I don't think that, like, a piece of bacon and some banana doesn't sound really good, but, I mean, I wouldn't knock it until I tried it, but I don't know how anxious I am to dip my banana in beer. But, hey, it might be great.
Hey, Steven, isn't that an Elvis snack?
I think that's peanut butter and Nanners, but he had to hang up. Yeah, they've been on the radio since 7:30 tonight, and it's 10:30, so they've been on the radio for a long time. So let me get a phone because I want to try to get as many in as possible just in case there's any more issues. I am going to grab the poem that Laughing Soul put on the board. And I think I better get a hold of the Evening Star, because that's what I was just about to say. And Linda, would you like to read for your soul?
I would. Let me refresh here. Here we go. Ocean by Laughing Soul. The ocean that undresses every pearl, layer after layer from its coconut twirl, is the one I await to dive in and unfurl. When I shall dive deep in the mirthful sleep, let it bear all my mysteries, the ones I've hidden and the ones no one ever cared to see. Nude shall be my soul, unraveling masks, singing like a lark, gleaming like carols, like a monk blissfully lost on a knoll, so shall my soul in the depths of the ocean, Laughing Soul in poem.
Reed, thank you very much. And before I comment, let me open up a couple phone lines here. We have Sweet Pea. Hello, Sweet. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Sweet. Hello, darling.
Glad you're here. And right behind her, we have Miss Sky. Sky, Sky. Hey, Sky. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Sky.
Hello.
Hi, Sky.
Hello.
Glad you are here. And I am just about to comment on a poem by Laughing Soul that Linda read. I think I like the second stanza and the third stanza the best. When I shall dive deep in the mirthful sleep, let it bear all my mysteries. I love that part. And then at the beginning of the next stanza, nude shall be my soul, unraveling masks. Like, she's not hiding anything. There's no mask. There's nothing that covers her or blankets her or cloaks anything. She's right there. And I think that what better could you be than totally transparent? You're not hiding. You're an honest, gentle soul. And it says so in the art. It says so in her poem. And coincidentally, it says so in her profile name, Laughing Soul, which is a really cool thought. I think that this is a beautiful brevity. And I appreciate you writing for my show very much. And Linda, you read. Will you comment, please?
Yeah, I think she's got one of the better metaphors I've read in a long time here. The ocean that undresses every pearl, layer after layer from its coconut twirl, is the one I await to dive in and unfurl. This whole poem is just sweet and enchanting. Like my soul, she puts her heart and soul in everything she writes. And this is no different. It's just got so much charismatic points to it. I really loved it. Soul, thank you for sharing it with us.
Awesome comment, and thank you again for reading. Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree to the second verse. When I shall dive deep in the mirthful sleep, let it bear all my mysteries, the one I've hidden and the ones no one cared to see. I think it's like almost like a limerick. Your ears pick up, because that's perfectly said. Even though the cadence, if you counted, it'd probably be off, but it rings really easy. It flows really easy. And I think that was well done, the metaphor in it also.
Awesome comment. And Wayne?
Yes. As I said, her naked soul is as beautiful as her heart is. She's got a sweetheart. She's got a pure soul. I like her attitude. This is a great job of the poem. I love the way it ended with the stanza, pearl is referred to the soul. Ocean is either spiritual knowledge or the spring. It's a wonderful way to end the poem, and a great job. It's always a good emotion to show, and I like the poem a lot. Good job.
Awesome comment. And Sweet, how about you?
I just kind of felt this is like there's peace in the depth of her silence that brings calm when the mind is still with her spirit and one with her heart. And I kind of felt that was throughout ocean that's undressing her or undressing the pearl and waiting to dive and unfurl. And then her mirthful sleep and her bear all of the mysteries, even the one that she's unhidden, but new shall be her soul unraveling the mask. And then like a monk blissfully lost. And so shall my soul in the depths of the ocean. So she has all this stillness and this calming and this just burying her heart and her soul. And yet they're all one in the ocean of like silence and calmness. So I really enjoyed it. It's almost prayer-like to me.
Great comment, Dahl. And Sky, will you comment and then read your poem for us, please?
Oh, yes. I thought this was an excellent solution. I agree with you. I think it does be so diving deep. More closely, but I like that part. The rest, I know you had mentioned it, of all those things that we hide inside of ourselves. And, you know, when we decide to unclothe and, like, reveal ourselves as if we were naked. And I love that she kind of links that into, nature and the ocean. Really well done.
Fabulous comment. And thank you, Laughing Soul. And Sky, take us away. Oh, hold on 1 second. Let me welcome AP to the show. Hey, AP. Glad you're here.
Thanks, Deb.
Hi, AP.
Been a few weeks, but I'm back.
Awesome. You're just in time to hear Sky. And do you need to go after her, or are you hanging out?
Possibly, if I could, Deb, that would be lovely. But I'm in your hands.
Okie dokie. Sky, please.
This is called Quote Valley Place by Sky Doctor. Saltwater gargled a clean beach tooth, tiny corrosive grains that knocked them loose. A mouthful of mist and breaks out of the ears, truth, watching concrete peel itself back, a secret spill and seaside collapse. Round pigeon glass clocks peck, and they peck, and they peck, till market store mirrors reflect all the spoiled, blacktop dreams we try to sell as Earth's foundation of weeds, weeds, weeds. And now even the moon is cloaked in pine banks, a bloom of moldering flowers, rottenly arranged, with broadleaf arrowheads, purple coral tombs, and zebra nets. All washed up on boat belly plants, plunders of the ransacked port, boom, the foghorn blows, and home.
Wow. I boat belly planks. Quite an interesting title there. I wasn't sure where you were going to take us. And the opening line, oh my goodness, saltwater gargles between each tooth. I never thought about the gargle, but if you listen to the sound, sometimes it does sound like that. So it's actually quite a brilliant way to open that. Watching concrete peel itself back as secrets spill and seasides collapse. Holy cow, watching concrete peel itself back, what a thought, Sky. This is like clobbering with metaphor after metaphor. Where's that? I hate when you can't find stuff. And now even the moon is cloaked in fume banks, a bloom of moldering flowers. I mean, and then that last line, doom, the foghorn blows. There's a lot of overwhelming emotion in here, and I know that I keep tying it back to this series that I'm watching, but it seems like, I don't know what else I was expecting, but a lot of the stuff is making me think of this Patagonia that I'm watching, and this is no exception, and it just, your wording, and like I said, your metaphors, it's quite an incredible piece, and it's written to even castles made from sand fall to the ocean by Jimi Hendrix, and it's true, and that, if you think about it, everything falls to the bottom, and from plankton to trash and everything in between, and it's a sad thing, and so many pieces of this. I have to leave some for somebody else, but one more. I just have to say, round pigeon glass clocks peck, and they peck, and they peck. It's like just that right there is pretty sobering, because it's like hit, 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 peck, peck, peck. It just keeps coming. Wow, Sky. I really like where you took this. Fantastic share. Sweet. Will you comment first, Sky?
Oh, I really, really enjoyed this, Sky. We tried to sell as Earth's seed, a foundation of weeds, weeds, weeds. there's this thing in my head that Earth always wins, regardless of what we put over it, under it, between it, on it, because you can put pounds of concrete in the ocean on top of whatever, and a plant will always crack through it. We try to tackle the ocean in so many ways, bridges over it, and somehow they'll still, the ocean will still beat the hell out of it. But I, even now, and even the moon, and cloaked in fume banks, I just love all the metaphors and things you put through it, purple coral tombs and zebra lance hooks. But if I continue, people are going to be mad at me. I mean, this is gorgeous, but what don't you? What don't you write that isn't gorgeous? And the last line, kill, you know, is just stellar. Doom, the foghorn blows. Let's hope that it doesn't end up happening in this world. And again, boat belly planks is gorgeous too. Again, another sky keeper that I'll have to read and read again, probably find 70 different ways to interpret it and go, oh, wait a minute, maybe it means that, or maybe it means that, or maybe it means that, and come back at you and go, hey, Sky, did it mean this? Or, hey, Sky, what are you trying to tell me here? And, you know, talk your ear off about something else. Beautiful piece, my dear.
Thank you. Awesome comment. Wayne, please.
Yeah, this is a remarkable poem. It's got a wonderful description and phrasing in it. It's kind of enchanting. It's kind of dark. Deterioration and doom, it seems like, but I love this poem. It's got a, I like the phrase, and now even the moon is cloaked in fume banks, a gloom of motoring flowers. You know, there's something bad going on here, and she describes so poetically perfectly. It's beautiful. Great job with the poem. I love it a lot. Good job.
Thank you, Ben.
Awesome comment. And Linda?
Yeah, this was like a brilliant piece, Sky. It kind of had this sad, misty read to it. A mouthful of myths and gray, cold figures, truth, watching concrete peel itself back, all secrets spill to seaside collapse. Just really beautifully written, not in a dark way, but in a sad kind of, the broken ship, the boat belly planks that you see lying on the shore after a bad storm of tiny vessels that didn't make it. And that's what this brings back to me. And the last verse, all washed up on boat belly planks, plunders of the ransacked corpse, doom, the foghorn blows. That's what got it for me. Just reminding me of how strong the ocean can be, and how weak we really are in its hands. But beautifully written piece. Thank you, Sky, for sharing it.
Thank you, Linda.
Awesome.
You're welcome.
Comment. AP, I'm going to have Hatter comment and then you. So will you put your poem on the board? Hatter,
sure.
Will you comment? Sky, please.
Yeah, I love this. And now even the moon is cloaked in fume banks, a bloom of moldering flowers rottenly arranged with broadleaf arrowheads. Sky, are you making words up again, Kim?
No, I'm not.
Moldering is a word? Moldering flowers?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
I'm probably
it is.
Making up words.
No. Well, no, I'm proud of you.
No, to molder. Molder. Moldering is
molder.
To slowly decay.
Oh.
That's the word.
Okay. Yeah, I guess so. If it's some kind of action. Yeah.
No,
never
it
mind.
Really is a word. I'm not lying to you. It's a verb.
Okay.
Awesome. And AP, will you please comment for Sky and then read yours?
Yeah. I mean, there's a real channeling of the Jimi Hendrix lyrics. The last stanza of the Jimi Hendrix song that the quote comes from says, "She drew her wheelchair to the edge of the shore, and to her legs she smiled. 'You won't hurt me no more.' But then a sight she'd never seen made her jump and say, 'Look, a golden winged ship is passing my way.' And it really didn't have to stop. It's ongoing." If you think about that, it's a little bit about what Sky was saying.
Thank you, Ethan.
Great comment. And yours is moving up on the board, but it's still there, and I'm moving it down just
still
in
there?
Case. Your turn.
Only a short brevity there. This is Pinch of Orange, and it goes a little bit like this. "The chatter of Moe prances too high, obscuring the pale blues far beyond. Added to gold with pink tinges on by, day connects with waters to abscond. Tiny pinch of orange appears on the sand, heat of the day driven into pale sheen. Waves loll as by known cup of sand, splash gently, fade. Soon this beach will darken to eve, this palette will disappear off by night, as pale stars and comets duly deceive, flapping waters framing, galaxies might." End poem.
Gorgeous. Right from jump, "A chatter of mauve prances too high, obscuring the pale blues far beyond. Added to gold and pink on by day connects and waters to abscond." Just the images right there, especially the first two lines, are stellar. The last line in number two, "splash gently to the space in between." Gorgeous. And "for soon this beach will darken to eve, this palette will disappear off by night." And it's just so beautifully put. I could hear the lapping. I could, the colors and the descriptions are so vivid that you could see the words as you read them, which is obviously the beauty in. But I love to write these. I don't know why I can't say it. Ephractic. Yeah, I can't even say it. But this is an excellent example of that kind of a poem, because it's bold and vivid, and it can be seen in the mind's eye. So great brevity. Beautiful share. Thank you very much. Sky, you want to comment first?
I loved the scenery. I have to agree with that. Tiny pinch of orange appears in the sand. Heat of the day driven by the ocean. I really love, I love water. Pretty much am out all summer because I just want to be out on the water. And so this is just such a beautiful image of the waves and probably splash gently. And I think that sound is just gorgeous. I live right outside of not lapping water, but you know, I have a waterfall outside my house. And I just have to open my door and I just get a brushing of a waterfall, and everybody's like, "How could you stand that sound? That's all you could hear." I'm like, "Oh, I love it." But the way that you kind of put this in as like this, you know, that calm kind of lapping in that beautiful, gentle orange sun, it's just absolutely beautiful. Really well done.
Fabulous comment. And Wayne, please.
Yeah, this is a great job. This perfectly balanced masterpiece. All the poems you write are seem like they're just perfectly balanced and read so well. Great phrasing in each line. It's so well written. It's so poetically written. It's wonderful. Good job, AP. I liked it.
Thank you, Wayne. Thank
you. Awesome comment. And my sweet. Oh, wait. You're the next reader. So let me get a comment from Linda first, please.
AP, my darling, this was just lovely. You captured the sunset at the beach just perfectly. Very soft and easygoing. And the last verse is just so beautiful. For soon this beach will darken to eve. This palette will disappear off by night as pale stars and comets duly deceive, lapping waters framing galaxies might. So beautiful are your words. Your quatrains are beautifully structured, and the imagery here is just all around beautiful. Thank you for sharing it, sweetheart.
No, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And my sweet, will you comment for AP before you do your poem, please?
Yeah. I don't know. This is almost like, it's almost perfection, AP. And you know how much I hate to say that to you. I mean, it really is. It's almost perfection. If the sunset and the ocean and jazz and poetry could meet and have a conversation of how they want it to be described, this is what they would come up with. These are the colors. These are the words. Let's put it all together, and this would be our signature. This would be the poem to say, jazz, sunset, and being on beach news. And we'll have APK to put it together for us. And there it is. It's just that perfect. I just find it amazing. And don't let that go to your head.
But I do have thank you, sweet. And,
you're very welcome.
It's my first show back for 3 weeks, Deb, so I had to do something. So I, even though it was only small. So thank you. And
first show
talk,
in 3 weeks, he comes with perfection. Wait, I'm sorry, almost perfection.
Almost.
Thank you, AP.
Thank you. And we'll talk soon. Thanks, guys.
Righty.
Talk soon. Bye.
Okay. Cheers.
My sweet. Show us what you got.
Okay. Unfortunately, this is one of my old ocean poems because it's just been a week. But one of my favorites, and one inspired by Deb, so here we go. And one inspired by your quote. That's not it. It is. It's way up there. I got to bring it down. So I just hit Linda's. Dun, dun, dun.
I'm putting it
on
back up. I'm sorry.
Page.
I didn't realize it
disappeared.
There it is.
Yeah. Thanks. Gotcha. So I was about ready. I'm like, wait, that's Liquid Damage's phone. That's me. Okay, this is Ocean Wave. And I used the quotes. The sea wants to cast its spell. Hold one in. It's net of wonder forever. Like Akuso. Rage spews underground, tide recedes, water twists, lands quake, mountains buckle, oceanic masterpiece rise, resplendent monsters cloaked. Rolling hills, colors graze, smashing, clashing, contoured shades, wailing mandates, center stage. Executioner of kings, lands, illusions rides on river edge, gentle sand, washed, metronome ticks, 1, 2, ocean waves, rolling time, and poem.
Wow, sweet. I have to start at the ending here. Another brilliant description of the sounds there. The metronome ticks, 1, 2. Ocean waves roll in time. That's absolutely spot on and quite a brilliant description there. Now back towards the front, the beginning, the first line, rage spews underground. I'm like, oh, wow. Lands, tides recede, water twists, lands quake, mountains buckle. Oceanic masterpiece rise, resplendent monster cloaked. really, I mean, just the that stanza, there is bold images and sights and sounds and incredible metaphor to be calling it a cloaked monster. I mean, the turbulence in the photo is perfectly depicted in that first stanza there. I'm going to have to leave some so that I don't get yelled at, but I'm going back to that end again for the minute because that was real. Metronome ticks 1, 2, really, really, I can hear it. I can hear the metronome. I can hear the waters crashing. I mean, I think that this was a treat for the senses, and I'm glad you pulled it out. I was just looking to see if I already had it on the list. How could I not? Anyhow, as always, your voice also put extra into it, and it was a front page pick 4 years ago, so it's easy to see why. It really is an amazing image-filled brevity suite. Thanks for bringing it.
Yeah.
Hatter, will you comment for a suite?
Yeah, I love how you started it out. The oceans and the seas, they are angry most all of the time. They are pissed off, and they will grab you and eat you up. I make it no qualms that I respect the ocean. I think it's beautiful, but it's not my thing. I don't go in the ocean. I don't need to. I'm a mountain guy. That total respect. You do, you know, once again, Debra said, you create your metaphors in a style that is definitely your own. It just seems to, I mean, I get it. I'm envious of him sometimes. Executioner of King Lands, you know, the metronome, like Deb said, is a great similarity to the waves. The ticks of time is there's a certain time issue with the tides. So very well done.
Awesome comment.
Very much.
Sky?
That was an excellent piece. And, you know, when you start talking about the tides, you know, it reminds me of that, oh, if you ever see in the ocean recede very quickly, it brings on a tsunami, tidal wave, and that's just kind of reminds me of. And you look at those waves, they are a masterpiece in and of itself, a very dangerous masterpiece. Indeed it is, yes. So I also love the second stanza, how you're bringing in the contours and the shades, because talk about water, it's not just one color. It depends on the lights and the clouds and so many, the depths of it, like the temperature. And there's definitely wonderful contours and shapes. So I really like how you bring that in and how you say it should stand center stage. It is a beauty in itself, even in its destructiveness and in its peace. I don't know why I keep repeating, but in its peace and its destructiveness, it is something to be marveled at. Really well done.
Thank you. Awesome. And Wayne, please.
You say Wayne or Linda?
I say Wayne.
Oh.
Wayne, are you still here? Are you still here? Are you muted? Okay. Maybe
lost Wayne.
I'm back. I'm back. Can I comment?
Please do.
Hello?
Yeah, please.
Okay. This is a good point. This poem has good flow. It's kind of like the ocean waves have flow. There's a lot of action in the first of the second and third lines are amazing. I can feel the wave kind of come to life. It said tides recede, water twist, land quakes, mountains buckle. That's about as much action as you can handle. Great job with this poem. I enjoyed it all the way through. Good job there, sweet.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Awesome. Now, Linda is going to comment next, and she's also the next reader. But before you do that, I want to do the announcements. So, Sky, do you want to tell us what your next show is about?
Yes. Next Saturday on Storyboard, it's going to be the Money Pit. And you can write any of the themes, characters, quotes. You can go anywhere, even if off topic from the topic itself, where it can have lots of quips, fun. And I will just give out a reminder, I will be away the following week. I will be camping, so there will be no storyboards on Saturday. It's been moved to Tuesday at 8, so it will not overlap each show, but just so you guys are aware.
Thank you. And, Sweet, would you want to tell us about tomorrow?
Actually, tomorrow night is open poetry for me. Hatter's doing Olivia Newton-John, so I was going to do something else, and unfortunately my whole world is kind of upside down right now, so we are doing open poetry. Anything you want to bring me, anything about a cow would be great, but it's all open poetry.
Okay, Bon, and I'm going to try to give you a call tomorrow. And Wednesday, as you mentioned, Heather will be doing discussions on Olivia Newton-John and some of her music. At the very least, you can hear some great songs, so try to join him. And and then the next reader, and Reed, will you tell us about your shows coming up?
Yes, I have a show Friday the 12th at 6 o'clock at A Team of Voices. I'm sorry, it's 10 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Alaska time. But we have a lot of fun, tell some stupid jokes and pass the time, so come on down. And then on the 20th, I have a show with La Cosa Nostra, hopefully, if it's still going on, I'm not sure. But come on down and see if it is. We tell some more stupid jokes and have a lot of fun. So that's it.
Okay. Sounds like a lot of stupid fun.
Yep. It's a lot of stupid fun.
Okay, and your poem is on the board, so will you please read for us?
Yeah. This is called Ocean Dance, and it's a true story. Hark, now hear the sailors cry, smell the sea and feel the sky. Let your soul and spirit fly into the mystic, Van Morrison. If I could find my way to go, I'd sail the ocean blue. There I'd kiss the ocean mist and save one just for you. The only thing a sailor has that keeps him living free is being on the ship he loves and sailing on the sea. With sky about to sunset, all amethyst and peach, indigo and violet, all within my reach. The yellow from the golden sun cast amber rays of light on clouds that drift across the sky in a melody of sight. I'd gaze up to the moon and stars to help me find my way, and as they sail the ocean sky, they'd help me find my light, and as they sail the ocean sky, they'd help me through the night. On the cobalt sea's horizon are colors that brew the sea, licorice, coral, and jasmine, scarlet, and blackberry. It won't be long till rugged sea comes dancing with my boat. The only thing I must agree is keeping her afloat. My father's ship, before I knew a sailor I would be, no finer ship had any lass been blessed to sail the sea. Then on glassy waters go my ship and I to sail, knowing that a storm would soon set waves and then a sail. It came from old Poseidon in full force and trident sharp. It slammed into waves. It slammed its waves into my deck. It tossed my ship. Oh, hark! So the storm it held 3 days strong slammed against my ship, but not a scratch had bitten her, not nary a small chip. This mighty sea tried her tricks, but mightier was my ship. And I'm sorry, this mighty sea tried her tricks to try to sink me down, but mightier was my ship and didn't even frown. A sailor's ship has always been her most important friend. She lives her life defending her right to the very end. Alas, O sea, I love thee in calmness and in rain. No better love can I feel. You've taken back my pain. No brighter sight can one surpass after storm out on the sea. It will fill your heart with joy and your spirit full the sea. End poem.
Well, do you know, as you read on, your voice changed. I could tell that you were feeling it. You had mentioned it being a true story at the beginning, and we could feel, I could feel your emotions in your voice as you read. So many. My father's ship, before I knew a sailor I would be, no finer ship had any last been blessed to sail the sea. That part was really endearing for me because it was like a father-daughter thing, father-child thing there. It came from old Poseidon in full force and trident sharp. It slammed its waves into the deck and tossed my ship. Oh, hark! You know, you never, ever seem to cease to amaze me with this story, but then it's also a story with rhyme and flow, and it's always so lyrical, and there's always full sights and sounds, and the feelings are always there. But this one, like I said, the further in you got, the more emotion was coming from your voice, and I think that you really did an incredible job with this. But again, I say I'm always impressed with your storytelling abilities. Another fantastic share. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deb. Thank you.
Let's get a comment from Susie.
Well, as always, darling, your rhyme and your reason, it is just spot on, and I love them dearly. And this one is beyond spot on, and I'm trying to find my favorite part, as always, because there's so many that I love. Hold on. I'll find it. Don't give up. I love this. On the cobalt sea's horizon are colors that brew the sea. I love that, brew the sea. Licorice, coral, and jasmine, scarlet, and blackberry. First off, that's a lovely drink, minus licorice, because I hate licorice. But I love the phrase, brew. They brew the sea. And how lovely, the smells, the colors, and all of that. I thought that was just a beautiful image and smell and taste. You've got it almost all in there, you know. You see it, you smell it, you taste it. And I thought that was, like, perfect in poetry, like just that stanza. I thought, you've got it all in that, just that little stanza. And I thought that was brilliant, along with everything else that is in there. But that one just really caught me in the sense of,
Thank you,
show, tell, and everything. It's just right there. Very well done there.
Thank you, sweet.
You're welcome.
Fabulous, fabulous comment. And Sky, will you comment for Linda, please?
Yes, thank you. And I was just waiting. This is going to be my last comment. I thought this was beautiful. It made me think of, and you may have not been going in this direction, so I apologize if I took it the wrong way, but it made me think of that footprints poem, you know, the one set of footprints that reminded me of, you know, because I took it on the perspective of faith and, you know, speaking of storms and the yellow golden sun and the amber waves of light and, of course, all that beautiful, which was wonderfully described, and then going down and speaking about the horizon. But it's when you get down from my father's ship before I knew a sailor I would be, no finer ship had any less and less to sail the sea. I think it's a wonderful piece about believing in something and putting your trust in something. And, you know, right here, to try and sink me down, but mightier was my ship and didn't even frown. And then when you come down to, no bitter sight can once surpass the storm out to the sea, will fill your heart with joy and your spirit full of esteem. It was just beautiful. It spoke to me of surrender and empowerment and kind of putting a belief in something and being checked by that. It was a beautiful piece.
Thank you. Yeah, that night I was on my boat with my two-week-old baby strapped to my chest because the crests were so high they were going over my boat and tossing my boat to the side so much I could see the ocean bottom through the portal. And I had to at one point jump from my boat to another boat and pull in his anchor line because he had too much road out and he kept slamming into me. And I kept doing this thinking, you know, am I going to make it through this night? Because it was the worst storm to hit San Diego in 50 years. And I ended up by myself, and it was quite a night.
Wow.
But thank you, Sky.
Awesome comment. And Hatter, will you comment for Linda and then read your poem?
Yeah, El Nino's a bitch. The storyline, how you write, the storyline is always good. It's always the beginning, the middle story, and then you end it properly. Your rhyming is so spot on that it allows us as listening and go following along, allows us to hear the little nuanced changes in your voice, which Deb was talking about. And it's all contributed to your rhyme and how smooth it is. And all your rights need to be in a book, illustrated, and somebody's reading to some kid. Yes, reading to some kid. They're always spot on. You have no trouble rhyming.
Well, thank you, Hatter.
You're welcome.
That's really cool of you to say.
Fantastic comments for an awesome poem. And Hatter, yours is on the board. And Sky, thank you so much. Glad you were able to call.
Yeah, I also wrote to the Van Morrison, "Hark now, hear the sailors cry, smell the sea and feel the sky. Let your soul and spirit fly into the mystic," Van Morrison. And then that was the picture I chose. It was like this. Okay. Reflections watched from a half-buzzed stool, tapping behind Brian's less-traveled pool. In search of stones, the poet fears upon the horizon a ship of tears. The bank rolling out, escorted by whales, running from echoes and flame-throwing sails. Follow the stars to red-shifting ice. The philosopher's stone was never not right. Reaching the edge that falls to the sea, sailing from circles that keeps following me. Breaking the silence that leads to the mystic. Yeah, what a pity, then ask them to fix it. No?
No.
Break the silence.
Where's Deb? Deb, can we lose you, Deb? Great.
No, it's one of them times where you have a discussion with your mute button, and thankfully somebody says,
"Oh, just listen to you." Damn mute button, and listen to you.
But this, I like the title, Hatter Backward into the Mystic, which is really, really cool. Reflections watched from a half-buzz stool, tagging behind, finds a less-traveled pool. Great couplet there. I love the half-buzz stool. Too cool. What was that? Follow the stars to the red shifting ice. The philosopher's stone was never not right. You know, I start to sound like a broken record, but you have this rhyme pattern that's all yours, and it seems like no matter the topic, you can turn around and you can put this. I know that Sweet and I usually affectionately call it that Hatter rhyme, but it's like you bring it no matter the topic, no matter the genre, whether, you know, it's an upbeat or it's a sad or dark, or you strike big time with the marshmallow poems and stuff. I mean, you just always, no matter what, are spot on with that cadence. It's always so impressive. I think you probably write with this cadence. You probably dream with this cadence in your sleep. Do your poems rhyme?
I talk that way sometimes when I'm writing. Talking to Joy. Joy will talk me to knock it off. Knock it off, man.
That's hilarious.
I believe it because you do
it. I gotta go
so...
to the bus. It's us. It's us.
He's right.
I'm stuck.
Yeah. It's like you do it as a reflex. So I mean, you know, it might sound like a funny question, but I couldn't help but wonder, do you even rhyme in your dreams? So like, it's really cool, and I like the
The answer is
something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God, poor Joy. I'm gonna drink my tea and then I'm gonna pee. Don't see. He says he doesn't. When he talks, I can just hear him. Okay, I'm gonna drink my tea and then I gotta pee. Okay, don't look, don't see. Oh my God. No, I mean it's you know, I told AP he was almost perfection because Hatter is perfection when he comes around to this. I mean, escorted by whales, you know, running from the echoes and flame-throwing sails. I mean, it's just the cadence and the imagination and everything that you put together. It's just you have the storytelling, you have the rhyme, you have the cadence, and you have the attention. You spark the attention. People are, you know, you read and you're like, what's the next word? What else is going to say? You've got me. You know, whatever it is you're going to say, I want to listen. I want to read it. You took by the hand, literally like a hand coming up from the floor, and you pulled me straight down through that floor and I don't care where you're taking me because I'm going to follow you because you pulled me in. And that's all there is to it. I mean, you've got me. I'm following you through it. So that's the Hatter thing.
No pressure there.
And I might note that she didn't tell you not to let it go to your head. Just saying. Linda, will you comment for Hatter, please?
Sure. You have, like, one of the best Carol-esque style of writing that I've ever seen. The way your rhymes come out, sometimes almost backwards, but make total sense, is total Carol. And you are, like, one of my all-time favorite rhymers because you always have it spot on, you know, and it just, it blows my mind. Your storylines are just so whimsical and fun. And I just really love this piece, Hatter. It just called to the, to my heart for the whole thing. Just was so beautiful. Thank you for sharing it.
And, well, knowing you'd be on the show and you're bringing your pieces, it gives me a little incentive. Yeah, that's that right, Betty.
Oh, thank you.
That's sweet.
That is sweet. Oh. All right, so let me see here. Here is where we are. I have 3 recordings and 2 poems. Crystal said she was going to try to call. I'm so excited because she's been away at a summer camp, surrounded by summer camping kids, which is really kind of insanity.
Oh, she's got to call in. She's got to call in.
I know. I hope so. So I'm trying to.
I think she's a little old for summer camp.
Yeah, you can't be there and be apart.
Yeah, no, she's a counselor.
Oh, okay, that's a little better. I was going to say she's a little old for summer camp.
she's only in her 20s, so she still does fun stuff like that, you know.
We should have a show for. With the kids.
But yeah. Okay. Now, my sweet, I will definitely give you a call tomorrow. And if when you get a chance, send me the email address that you want to use for fantasy football. And love ya. Okay, now I am going to push Frank's recording. If you guys go ahead and click on there.
I am awakened by the choir of exotic echoes, led by the serenade of your voice. Resounding passionately with the whispering swash of the romantic airs. The melodies of the passing gulls accompany you like an orchestral wave, a pastel shade of the fountain of an aquamarine celestiality. With the ancient spirits of lovers, dance upon the rising tincture of tide. After the matinal caress of the water, evokes the alluring of bard. The pearly luster of your eyes, found within the caramel sand, whereupon I listen to you with a seashell pressed to my ear. I search for you endlessly through the fastidity of the ocean's depth, hoping to taste the substance of your cares and drink from the wine of your lips, to feed off the ambrosia of the tender slices of your sweet honeydew. See the morning sails of the boats gliding across the broad horizon. I want to bathe in the lavender ocean of your love forever, be enraptured by the vestigial scent of your seductive perfume, witness the natural beauty of your colorful divinity, feel the gentle breeze of your wind blowing upon my face. Meet me where the sky touches the ocean, where we are lost in the ripples of time, where we are lost in the ripples of time. Into poem.
Wow. There was something in that music box there at the end, the little chime through there. I don't know what it, I can't put my finger on what it is, but I like a wind chimey music box type of noise. But I really like that for the closing couplet there, meet me where the sky touches the ocean, where we are lost in the ripples of time. And then those last couple beats from the music box was really, really awesome. Gosh, I could pick any couplet here. A pastel shade of the fountain of an aquamarine celestiality, where the ancient spirits of lovers dance upon the rising picture of tides. I love that. And where I search for you endlessly through the vastity of the ocean's depths, hoping to taste the sustenance of your kiss and drink from the wine of your lips. There was so much a longing and a romantic feel in that part. To feed off the ambrosia of the tender slices of your sweet honeydew. I mean, it was just a gorgeous image-filled piece. And I did put the art that he wrote to on the board as well. But man, be enraptured by the vestigial scent of your seductive perfume and witness the natural beauty of your colorful divinity. I mean, it's just gripping and emotional and beautiful and romantic. And the title, In the Ocean of Your Love, I really, really love the title. And I think, saving for last, at the opening stanza, I am awakened by the choir of exotic echoes led by the serenade of your voice. My, oh my, just that couplet is like beautiful. Excellent share, Frank, from the title down to the last click from the music box. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous piece. And as usual, an awesome read as well. I appreciate the effort and the creativity and the beauty. Thank you so much. Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, is the volume thing on our side, or does he need to record a little louder? Really hard to hear.
I have it way up, so I don't know. I mean, I could hear it. Okay, but there was a couple spots.
But anyway, the couple places through it, I could hear the through the hourglass of time. These are the days of our lives. Say, Popper.
Yeah, I can hear it.
Which is a compliment, because that's a very beautiful line. Feel the gentle breeze of your wind blowing upon my face. Now, see, that's the part that through there, I couldn't hear him at all. So I'm trying to figure out where he's at. It sort of broke up the cadence with me to read, and I was have to let him know. Record a little louder or something, but the right spot on. Frank brings it every time. He's very, very has a certain style of sensual and romance, sort of European, something California don't have. European.
Great comment, Haver. And before you comment, Linda, let's say hi to Crystal. Welcome home, Crystal.
Yes.
Hello.
Crystal. We've missed you, doll.
Yeah.
I know. I just got back a couple of days ago.
Was it fun?
Are you kitted out?
More like teenagered out because the kids weren't that bad. It was the teenagers.
That actually sounds about right.
Oh, so you're home? You're not with the camp anymore?
No.
Oh, shoot. We're going to call you.
It felt for weeks. It felt like it was going forever.
It felt like it went by pretty quick, though.
Well, that would be from your perspective, Hans, but seriously, I'm really glad you're back. And I'm just about to get a comment from Linda for Frank.
This is so full of passion. The couplets were extremely beautiful. And it was, to me, like a Bronte novel, so romantic with such sensuality and emotion. It was just lovely. And Frank just gets better every time I hear him. And it's nice to hear him do something on the quieter side, although not this quiet, but on the quieter side, or let me say, on the more loving side than the horror that he does. Don't get me wrong, Frank. I love your horror. Nobody does it like you. But this was a nice change. Very lovely, Frank. Thanks for sharing it.
He's got to do Telltale Heart. You got to keep reminding him part of it.
That would be cool. Well, you figure we're only two months from Halloween now. Maybe we can get him to do something for that.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Didn't have any time. All right, Miss Crystal.
All right. Okay, got it. All right, this is called Seas of Memories. As pointy rocks crumble under the waves, splashing against my red cheeks, I dangle my toes along the reef, dripping water drops across the peaks. My quartz eyes bleed to the skies, like great bubblegum sticking to sunlight. Evening clouds drift to the ripples, reflecting on the lollipop moon of night. I see a fading memory of you in the clouds, dancing in the corners of my mind. The pearly smile radiates, snapping photos, coloring the honeydew of sunshine. Waterfall flutters blue butterflies, tickling my eyes with the slideshows of memories. Violet lilies dust the ocean tides as I remember the skies and the seas. End poem.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. And this is a popular quote, "Meet me where the sky touches the sea." I think you did beautiful, Crystal. Seas of Memories, I love the title. My quartz eyes bleed to the skies like great bubblegum sticking to sunlight. Evening clouds drift to the ripples reflecting to the lollipop moon of night. I love that lollipop. Wish I wrote it, love lollipop moon of night. Really cool. And in the next stanza, I see a fading memory of you in the clouds dancing in the corners of my mind. I absolutely love that. I see a fading memory of you in the clouds dancing in the corners of my mind. For me, the clouds always touch me because of the amount of time in my life I've spent watching them and naming what they shape-shift into and stuff like that. So the fading memory in the cloud is such a sad thing. Like the memory fading isn't sad enough that you put it in with the clouds. So, like, that got me. And your pearly smile radiates, snapping photos, coloring the honeydew of sunshine. I think that you covered some really vast emotions in just four little stanzas, and this is another amazing brevity. You're really, really a strong brevity writer. I know I've said that to you before, but it's so true, and like I could feel the emotion in there. And one more thing. Waterfalls flutter blue butterflies, tickling my eyes with slideshows of memories. So that the mention of the word memories a few times also drives the point across. So I think that this came out excellent. What a share. And again, welcome back. Hatter.
Thanks, Deb.
Sweet connection.
Say Hatter.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, I hope. Missed you. And Deb's right. You have the natural talent. You have no redundancy in your lines that I could ever tell. And that's your storytelling it's to where it's very easily heard or comprehended. I've lost for words here. It's like the puzzle. All these poems are puzzles, and you get to pick words how you want to put them together. And some you just gotta envy and enjoy, and you always bring it. Missed you, man.
Insider, I like that comment.
And Linda, will you comment for Crystal?
Sure. This was just so pretty. I love the colors you have in here, and the light, and just the way the movement of the clouds and the waves and everything is. And I just wanted to hear more. Like Hatter said, you leave your stuff open for more. You know, I could listen to this on and on, but your imagery in this is just so lovely and brilliant, and I love the waterfalls, flutter blue butterflies tickling my eyes with sideshows of memories. That's such a beautiful couplet right there. But and I see a fading memory of you in the clouds dancing in the corners of my mind. What a beautiful way to say that. I think you did a really fantastic job, Crystal. And yeah, welcome home. It's good to hear your voice. But thank you for sharing this beautiful piece.
Thank you, Linda.
You're very welcome.
Awesome comment. Thank you so much, everyone. Now, if you click on WSP, he sent a recording, and I should push play. Let me answer the call first. Area code 408, hello.
Hi.
Excellent timing.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, great.
Well, I am about to pitch play, so let's hear what's up.
Okay. You ready?
Whale Watching, written by WSP, performed by WSP. It was a brisk and early morning, the sun began to rise. I was gearing up to go, though my kit was kid-sized. My mother held my hand, we boarded my grandpa's boat. Today's the day I see the whale with my own eyes. Where, oh where, could that old humpback be? Where, oh where, within the Atlantic Sea? Where, oh where, could that dumb whale hide? I'm looking round side to side like lobster buccaneer. The sea is a fickle ass, her mist can turn to tide. From an easy game of hide-and-seek to a way of watching ride. Keeping secrets to herself, spoiling the fun for all the kids, searching for the whalish hide. Where, oh where, could that old humpback be? Where, oh where, within the Atlantic Sea? Where, oh where, could that darn whale hide? I'm looking round side to side like a lobster buccaneer. Then I heard a heavy spout just beyond my sight. The smell of mixed salt and fish, that's the humpback's breath, all right. I'm looking down off the side, impossible to see anything. It's like looking for a sapphire with an indigo light. Where, oh where, could that old humpback be? Where, oh where, within the Atlantic Sea? Where, oh where, could that darn whale hide? I'm looking round side to side like a lobster buccaneer.
Yay!
That was impressive. Wow.
I didn't expect song, so that was like, it caught me off guard, but yeah. It was excellent. It's like a what are they, a sea shanty type of song?
Whale
song. Yeah, yeah.
Whale song.
And I'm trying to right? I'm trying to find, here's the board. I wanted to see the put the art up there. And I know it's the whales, but I can't find it. I'll find it later. But there's whales jumping up out of the water. So the right is like perfect. Man, I'm so impressed. Where, oh, where could that old humpback be? Where, oh, where within the Atlantic Sea? Where, oh, where could that damn whale hide? Oops, darn. Did I say darn? Oh, shoot. I'm looking around side to side like a lobster buccaneer. There's something so cool about that, like a lobster buccaneer. And the repeat of it was, you know, like very chorus. So I think this came out absolutely fantastic, from the concept of the whale watching to the song that was put us in the sea captain kind of mood, where you almost want to break into some pirate talk type of thing. The sea is a fickle lass, her mist can turn the tide from an easy game of hide and seek to a wave watching ride. The rhyme and cadence and lyrics all the way through are quite brilliant. Fabulous. Wow. So good. Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, raise a pint. Save a whale, save a whale. You know, I could just see everybody in the tavern toasted, singing those Irish, Scottish sailor songs. Very well done. I see it in the AN, it was to a memory of when you were a kid, whale watching. Is the tune to a certain song? It's not there. Was that on tape?
I was trying to look. Heavily influenced by the Great Big Sea. Really, really excellent.
Yeah.
And for wow. Linda, will you comment too, please?
I absolutely will. You can come on my boat anytime and write shanties. That's just so delightful. You just caught everything so right on. Like, I love that the last line in the stanza doesn't rhyme. That makes it so authentic. Just brilliantly written. Yeah, come write some songs for my boat. Thanks for sharing, WSP. Really great. Hello, 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 hello. Hello, hello, hello.
That's what I'm sitting there thinking.
Yes, guys. Did we lose Deb? You know, they're
having a great conversation with the mute button.
Wonder if she got bumped off her battery. I bet it's a battery. She'll be right here.
Uh-oh.
She was having power issues earlier today.
Oh, dang.
Oh.
Sorry about that.
Very good.
Linda, you finished your comment. Did Crystal get the comment?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I would like to get a comment from Way Busy, please.
Hello?
Yes, you can go ahead and comment, please.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking, I was like, it started off with a beautiful day is what I remember. A beautiful day. And as the day goes on, the day gets brighter and brighter. And just like we do, we get brighter and brighter as the day goes on. Because it's higher learning. We get to learn things. And as you're learning and growing up, I always get the impression of up. You know, a whale is jumping up. There's always this higher ground. And when you're at a higher ground, you get a panoramic view of everything. And maybe perhaps you want to say something about the view. And when you're trying to define what's going on in your heart to other people about what you're seeing, not everybody's going to be reflecting what you're projecting. So there's obviously going to be people that are unawares. But nonetheless, when you're speaking, they're going to have to take a look someday at what you're saying. And the higher you go is because the lower you go. Lower is always better because you have to come from somewhere. And if you don't have abilities, then you don't have credentials to do it.
You can't start at the top.
Yeah. You know, well, you start at the bottom. And when you come from the bottom, those credentials that you have that other people say, well, you said a bad word. Well, perhaps I used a bad word because I come from down here. And that makes me intelligent. That makes me intelligent because you said a bad word. But listen, you're not listening to what I was conveying to you because you heard a bad word and you don't come from the depth that I come from. So you're unable to sympathize with me. That's a problem for you. Right.
Yeah, this is the substance of what I'm saying, not how I'm saying it.
Right. So there's a lot of misunderstanding going on, and if you've got a filter that filters what other people are saying because they don't have a filter, it's just that when something comes into their mind, it comes right out of their mouth without any filter, and you have to be the one that's responsible. Because why? You already understand why.
I learned that meeting a lady friend from London, and there were certain things she said, you can't say that to a woman. And it's like, what I said was, don't get your niggers in a bunch. I said, don't get your niggers in a bunch. And jokingly, she goes, you can't say that.
I never heard that. Say it again.
Yeah, it's all about intent. I didn't intend to be sexist or racist or anything. If there's no intent, then there's no foul. You better get used to that, because that's the way it is, you know?
Yeah. Right. It's how you use it, though. It's how you use the language, you know, because I could say stuff like, because I say different ways, you know, because I've been around different classes of people. I've been around people that are convicts, okay, because I come from a background where I've been in prison. So I've come from that kind of situation. Whereas people outside don't really come from that. They have family members. They know people, but they're not really like that. And so they look at things differently because it makes them feel a certain way about me because I look this way.
It seems to be a hard thing for people to adapt to one way or the other.
Well, you know, this comes with experience, my friend, because the more experience you bring to the table, and I don't care what people think about your experience, because it ain't got nothing to do with what they think. And if you think it does, you've got problems. And guess what, partner? Those problems are multiplying. And if you want to stop that stuff, you better start listening. Because if you don't, well, you're on your own, Captain.
Yeah, it's all about who you surround yourself with. All right.
No, I didn't do that. No, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. No, go ahead. Let me hear what you got to say, though, because I ain't do none of that.
Oh, no. I'm just agreeing with you. I'm just an abstract. For people that have not seen or lived on both, I know what cultures, because it is a culture. Like, you have to know which one you're in, but I know what you're talking about. It's about intending those words.
Look, Holmes, check it out. You know, when you're talking to somebody, you know, I mean, you either care about the person or you don't. You can't force love, right? These people, just because they come up to you and start talking so good, doesn't mean you love them. It just means what they're saying sounds good to you. But if it sounds good, you kind of thinking, well, I don't know about all that. You know what I mean? Because your experience tells you that, well, that's, you know, you ain't never had none of that. So you're on the alert, you know. You're already on the alert, you know, because you already made a judgment. You don't believe that. And you want these people to prove it to you. So you're going to put them through some tests. You know what I'm saying? It's just the way people are, man. And they want to make you do all this and that. Because you know what? When it comes down to what people are doing, they do what they do because that's what matters most to them. And what are they doing when they mess with you is that they're controlling you and manipulating you. And if you have any feelings about what they're doing, they're going to exploit your feelings. And you're going to be in a position where you're like, I ain't having no relationship like a real relationship. I'm all messed up over here because every time I try to say something, they all try to talk like, oh, you know, it's like, what are you talking about, man? Look at you, you're all messed up and you're just getting worse and worse. It's a downward thing for you and you need some help to get you out of that cycle that these people live in, which is an illusion, and you in reality, and you got confused about what's reality and what's illusion. So look at, man, we're here to help people to get out of that stuff.
Accent or Australian accent. Americans tend to enjoy listening to them talk, so they put them in the advertising.
Okay, I put the guys in the green room so they could finish their conversation because we are in overtime and I would like to get these last two poems in. So if you ladies would click on Gerald with me, I will push play. And here we go.
Welcome to Gerald Green Poetry. Princess, written and read by Gerald Green. She stands on her balcony of granite, feeding birds in her blue chiffon gown, entranced by the flapping and cooing, ignoring the poor in her town. While people are starving on mud-covered streets, she gathers her bevy of pigeons and doves, preferring her luxury, status, and wealth, supported by servants with velveteen gloves. Each morning she calls and she scatters, knowing they'll come and surround her, like friends or extended relations. She is drawn to both feather and fur. Her life is of privilege and status. Center of attention is norm. She moves in the greatest of circles, where rules are set and all maidens conform. Her fingers are fragile, her nails polished red. Never a callus will ever be found. A slightly bent posture that some find alluring is part of her glamour, designed to astound. she's somewhat pretentious, her head always crowned, her golden hair coiffed in spectacular ways. With slippers of satin and jeweled earrings, she craves recognition, honor, and praise. Visit YouTube for more Gerald Green poetry.
That was awesome. And just to note, the art is from last week, and I had carried it over because Gerald wrote for the show and then never realized that he didn't add it to my topic board. So I was like, oh, well, just give it to me. I'll move it to next week. And before we comment, I also want to tell Call was disconnected, and now that the timer's off, it won't let him back in, but it was nice to hear from him. And Gerald's poem, my goodness, each morning she calls and she scatters, knowing they'll come and surround her like friends or extended relations. She is drawn to both feathers and fur. I like that. Her life is a privilege and status. Center of attention is norm. She moves in the greatest of circles where rules are set and the maidens conform. Where the rules are set and all maidens conform. Well, we maidens don't conform as easily as they used to. But no, I think that he took this art and totally brought it to life. And she stands on her balcony of granite feeding birds in her blue chiffon gown. So, I mean, he brings her in and he describes her and he sets the tone and he pulls in all the aspects of the art and manipulates them into a really awesome story. And I, for some reason, I really like, she's somewhat pretentious, her head always crowned, her golden hair cuffed in specialty ways with slippers of satin and jeweled earrings. She craves recognition, honor, and praise. I think you would have to crave recognition to have to deal with some of the stuff you would as a princess. But I think that you did a stellar job with this, Gerald, between the details and the read and the story. I very much appreciate it, and I'm glad that we carried it over so that we got to hear this. And you have such an awesome reading voice that anybody listening that, you know, wants to hear more, as he mentioned at the end, he has his YouTube channel going now with his poetry, so can check, he can hear more of him there, or you can hear more of him on my shows on Monday because he participates a lot. But we are all big fans of Mr. Gerald E. Green. Thank you, Gerald. Hatter, you want to comment first? Are you muted? Linda, will you comment for Gerald, please?
Sure. And yeah, I like what you said, Deb, about Gerald's voice. It's what's known as a radio voice. Just strong and clear, but very well pinned, this one. I liked, while people are starving on mud-covered streets, she gathers her bevy of pigeons and doves, preferring her luxury status and wealth, supported by servants with velveteen gloves. It kind of gives me a picture of the elite in restaurants where the servants are uncovering trays with their little velvet gloves on. Very cool. But the imagery in this was really nice. It kind of kept this poem really clean edged, and I thought you did a really great job, Gerald, so thank you for sharing it.
Awesome comment. Hatter, are you back? Okay. Well,
yes, I'm muted.
There you are. Do you have a comment for Gerald before we do the last poem?
I,
I wasn't able to follow. You have to pass me this time.
I wasn't sure if you were back yet. Okay, I'll tell you about that in a little bit. But if you guys will click on the poem by Shelley A.B., I will read for her. And it is called By the Sea by Shelley A.B. Do you have it?
Oh, no. Oh, that's the wrong.
By Shelley A.B. Got it.
What happened? What happened to... Something's happening.
Sometimes you refresh a second time and jump to talk.
Yeah, there we go. Hang on.
Okay.
What does it keep doing this for? Okay, I got it.
This is called By the Sea by Shelley A.B. And here we go. Iridescent shapes glisten from the sand. Treasures of the sea washed up onto land. White horses race and salty breeze plays where the water and earth marry always. Mountains formed and the dunes do loom, wrapping the coast in a crescent moon. The ocean blue blends with the sky. Only the sun feels the horizon's eye. End poem.
Mm.
Very beautiful. Yeah. Mm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, 8 little lines, but she totally brought
your rhymer.
Me. Yeah, and she brought me into the scene. I could see everything she was saying. And I like the little nod to the mountains formed from the dunes through loom. I mean, I thought it was really creative. And wrapping the coast in a crescent moon is another great image. So I think that there is a beautiful job here from start to finish, and I very much appreciate it. And it was my honor to be her reader. And what did you think, Hatter?
She's a rhymer. I like it. Yeah, the white horses race in the salty breeze. That's a beautiful picture and image. Horses at the ocean. I enjoyed it. The rhymer.
Awesome. And Linda, what you think, though?
Well, I thought this was so pretty, and she nailed it in 8 lines. That's unbelievable. But yeah, the structure of this was nice. The rhyming was excellent. Hatter, we got some competition here. A new rhymer. But this was just a really sweet little poem. I really liked it. Thank you for sharing it, Shelley.
Fantastic comment. And we have come to the end of the show. And another show filled with amazing writers, with amazing emotions, with incredible poets. I always feel so honored by the end of the show to get to hang out with so many brilliant writers. Don't forget to stop in tomorrow for Open Poetry with My Sweet. And just a small reminder that today was the sad day that we lost Olivia Newton-John. And I will take us out, since we gave a nice nod to her at the beginning, I will take us out with her song. I appreciate you all. And here we go. Oh, before I do that, how about if I say thank you to my wonderful board members, Hatter and AP and Sweet Pea, and thank you to Kay and Steven and Wayne and Sky and Laughing Soul and Frank and Gerald and WSP and Shelley and my dear Linda. I appreciate you all very much. love and respect to you all. And let's go out with Dame Olivia Newton-John.
Love and respect, Deb.
Love and respect.
Show, Deb.
Thanks, Heather. Love and respect, everyone. Night.
Hey, Joy said she's in.
Oh, awesome. Tell her I need an email address to tie her in. All right. Love and respect. Good night.
Bye-bye.